Morning, everyone.
Morning.
It's good to be back.
Morning.
First Sunday. Is this the first Sunday? Yeah, of 2020. We want to look this morning at Mark 14. If you're using the Red Bible, it's page 1019. Mark 14, verses 1 to 11, or page 1019 in the Red Bible. Now the Passover and the festival of unleavened bread were only 2 days away, and the chief priests and the teachers of the law were scheming to arrest Jesus secretly and kill him. But not during the festival, they said, or the people may riot. While he was in Bethany reclining at the table in the home of Simon the leper, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume made of pure nard. She broke the jar and poured the perfume on his head. Some of those present were saying indignantly to one another, "Why this waste of perfume? It could have been sold for more than a year's wages, and the money given to the poor." And they rebuked her harshly. "Leave her alone," said Jesus. "Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, and you can help them at any time you want. But you will not always have me. She did what she could. She poured perfume on my body beforehand to prepare for my burial. Truly, I tell you, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her." Then Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went to the chief priests to betray Jesus to them. They were delighted to hear this and promised to give him money. So he watched for an opportunity to hand him over. I wonder, have you had one of those conversations? The type of conversation that people in Belfast are really good at having. And you'll know what I'm talking about. See, if I want to tell you something today, if I want to pass on some information to you today, maybe just something that happened last week, I can go about that in two ways. I can tell you directly with minimum detail. I can get straight to the point. Jimmy was in hospital last week for tests. The good news is he's fine. Straight to the point. Or I can tell you the Belfast way. Maybe the way people in the Shankill are good at talking, and I have heard and I grew up with my family members putting information forward this way. So instead of saying Jimmy was in hospital last week and he's fine, it goes like this. Did you hear about Jimmy? You know Jimmy? Andy's son? No, not him. Jimmy from Agnes Street, not Enfield Street. You know who I mean? The guy that used to work in shorts? Well, he had to go to the Royal for tests. He had pains in his stomach. Do you love him? This is the third time this year he's had to go to the hospital. He's had a bad back and he doesn't sleep very well. They tested him for ulcers. They didn't know what it was. His family were really, really worried that it was something serious. He had to go and see the big doctor. He had to have one of those MRI scans and he had to wait for a whole year. And see, when I think about it, I knew his granny, and she had exactly the same problems as him. She never slept a wink either. Well, anyway, they tested Jimmy for all sorts, and you'll never guess what. It was just wind from eating too many Brussels sprouts at Christmas. Do you see what I mean? There's two ways to tell and to pass on information. There's the quick way, and then there's the Belfast way. And if you want to get people to understand something quickly, if you want to get some people to understand something that's really important, then what you've got to do is leave out the unimportant detail. And if we read this passage in Mark, if you look at it carefully, you'll see that is what Mark has done. So therefore, we need to look and see what it is that he really wants us to see. He's left out detail. So let's have a look at what he has left us to see. Mark is sparse on detail. Mark just describes her as a woman. There's no name. Who is the mystery lady? We could guess, but the information isn't there. We could go to John 12. We could say that it's Mary of Bethany, maybe, probably. But Mark doesn't bring that to our attention. Aside from Jesus, Mark presents us with three main players in this passage. There's the religious leaders, the chief priests and the scribes that you'll find in verses 1 and 2. It'll be helpful, by the way, if we keep our Bibles open just and work our way through. There's the woman in verse 3. And there's Judas in verses 10 and 11. And I think Mark leaves out detail because there's a message that he wants us to see and he wants us to understand. And first thing that you'll notice is this. By sandwiching, take verses 3 and 9. Have a look at your Bible. Verses 3 to 9. By taking those verses, that chunk of verses, and sandwiching them between the scheming priests of verses 1 and 2 and the scheming Judas in verses 10 and 11, Mark has created a contrast. A contrast between a woman whose love for Jesus is more important than money and a man whose love for money is more important than Jesus. Three main players. There's the religious leaders, there's the woman, and there's Judas. And today I just want us to consider how each of these three parties react when faced with Jesus Christ. The religious leaders, they want to kill Jesus. Look at verse 1. The chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by trickery and put him to death, simply so as they could keep the status quo, just hold on to their power, their money, their prestige, that their dead religion brought them. And Judas, he's planning to sell Jesus for the price of a slave. If you were to look up, and you don't need to, but Matthew 26:15, what will you give me if I deliver him to you? And they counted out to him 30 pieces of silver. Why? Because Judas was a fake disciple and he loved money more than he loved Jesus. And then we have this woman. We have this woman, just an ordinary woman, in verse 3. And she would give one of the most valuable things that she owns, and she'd give it all to Jesus. Because in her estimation, Jesus was worth it. So today, as we look at this passage, I ask you, what does Jesus mean to you? Is he worth it to you in your life? How are you going to react when faced with Jesus Christ? As we work through the passage, just try and identify with one of those three parties. Who are you most like in this passage? Are you like the religious guys? Are you like Judas? I hope and I pray that you can identify with this lady who gives her very best to Jesus. Today, I want us to think about motives. What motivated the leaders? What motivated Judas? What motivated this woman? And then ask ourselves the question, what motivates us? So there's four words that I want you to think about today, four words that I hope that you can take away with you and ponder them through the week. If you remember nothing else, remember these four words, and they're up on the screen. Priorities, possessions, protection, and providence. Let's look at the first word, priorities. Have a look at verse 4. Why was this oil, why was this perfume wasted? This was a complaint question from the religious leaders. But was it a waste? Was it a waste? This lady didn't think so. She prioritized Jesus before the money. Now, according to verse 5, this was worth a year's wages. Now think about that. Think about what you earned last year. Okay, think of that figure. What you got for your pension. What you got for your benefits. What was that? Would you give that all to Jesus? Would you do that? Would you have the faith to sacrifice that? Of course, it showed that this lady had the faith in Jesus. She believed that God would indeed supply all her needs. And that faith affected her priorities. I wonder how many people you know who have clung their whole life to money, held on tight. They've devoted their time, they've sacrificed their family, they've destroyed their health just for a few dollars more. But life's short. 70 years. When did we get our priorities right? I wonder what you're prioritizing today. Where do your priorities lie? Bible tells us that it's appointed unto man once to die, and after death, judgment. We need to get our priorities right. Money, security, good times, partying. And they dangle like a carrot in front of us. They promise a lot and they deliver nothing. That's the reality. We need to get our priorities right. What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul, or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Mark 8, 36 and 37. Well, this lady understood. She valued what was eternal over what was temporary. And maybe you're holding on to something. Maybe you're holding on tight and you won't let go. This lady, she prioritized Jesus, and she another thing that we can notice here, she prioritized Jesus before all of the other pressing needs around her. On this occasion, as for example, this was the poor. Have a look at verse 5. They criticized her sharply because she could have gave this money to the poor. And I think that there is a confusion in people's minds today. They see religion, they see faith as just doing good works. And saving faith and a real relationship with God has been reduced to doing charitable works. And these insincere religious leaders around this lady, in their minds, they had swapped that true repentance, true faith, and a real relationship for good works, for charitable works. And these guys are proud about it. They're faking a false interest in the poor, and they use it as a stick to beat this woman with. Please don't get me wrong. I think Christians need to be kind and considerate people. I think we have a duty to look after the weak and the vulnerable in our society. But we do need to ask the questions. What do people need most? What do people need most? What is going to bring a real change to our society? What do I need most? What's going to break the cycle of addiction? What can really bring peace to a troubled heart and mind? Only Jesus can do this. The gospel, the cross, the resurrection, and putting your faith in him. Only Jesus can change you from the inside out. Nothing external can do that. And that's what it means to be born again. Good works can put a sticking plaster over your sin. That's a gaping wound of sin. But Jesus can change you. He can change you completely from the inside out. Have a look at verse 7. You have the poor with you always, but me you do not always have. Me, you do not always have. Jesus was near. He was in close proximity to Jesus, and Mary prioritized him when he was near. Everything else was pushed to the side in preference for that relationship and for that service to Jesus. And she took opportunity to do what she could when Jesus was close. And today, on the 5th of January, 2020, in this time of grace, Jesus is near. He's near. He's only a prayer away, as the old song would say. And today, yet again, we're presented with an opportunity. You're presented with an opportunity to accept Jesus as your own and your personal Saviour. And I urge you, when Jesus is near, when the time is right, don't miss out on this opportunity. You may not get it again. Mary took the opportunity at hand, and she prioritised Jesus over everything else that appeared to be important. Let's look at that second point there, possessions. Wonder what you're living for today? Is it you? Are you at the centre? Your family, your security, your career, your possessions? Would you be prepared to give all of that up for Jesus? Do you think he's worth it? This woman gave everything. These guys who were looking on thought it was a waste. It annoyed them. All they could see was a year's wages worth of pure nard, as it's called here. And it's literally being poured down the drain, and they cry, "This is a waste," in verse 4. We're trained, we're attuned to look for the material in life. The bigger TV, the latest phone or tablet, the designer clothes. We're told that these things will bring us happiness. This lady just didn't buy into that way of thinking. Her economy of scale was different. But a life lived for Jesus is never, never wasted. At times, it may feel that way. The time that we give in service to this church, the money that we give, the career, the opportunities that we might forego, the friendships that we leave behind, it might feel as if it's wasted. But nothing that you give in love and faith to Jesus will be wasted. Jesus took what was given to him, and it was used greatly by God. Let's think about that third thing, protection. Have a look at verse 6. It's hard to let go. It's hard to let go of the things that are precious and important to us. But I think it's very interesting here. If you have a look at verse 6, when this woman chooses to completely let go of something that was of great value to her, look at what happens in verse 6. She chooses to give away something that, if it was sold, could bring her financial security for the future. We're told that this was a year's wage. The average minimum wage today is £16,000. That's the value we're looking at here in today's terms. If she sold it, she could have that sort of money. There was a financial security for the future. But she gives it away. And in giving it away, look what happens. She gains the protection of Jesus. Look at verse 6. Let her alone. Why do you trouble her? Let her alone. Why do you trouble her? What other security can we have in life than the protection of the good shepherd? If God is for us, then who can stand against us? I ask you again then, what are you living for today, the temporary or the eternal? Are a few short years of comfort and possessions and success important when we consider that judgment comes next? Or we can choose Jesus, and we can choose his eternal protection, the protection of the good shepherd. Look at that third thing, providence. Sorry, I've muddled up the screen, but we'll look at providence at the minute. Providence simply means that God is in control of everything. It means that there's no coincidences in life. There's no accidents in life. If it's God's will, then it will happen exactly as God wants it to happen. It's actually no coincidence, and it's no accident that you're here today. verse 2, if you want to just go back a bit just to get the full picture here, verse 2 tells us that the chief priests didn't want Jesus to be crucified during the feast. They didn't want to start a riot. But we know now, because we have the scripture, that Jesus was crucified at that time. He was crucified at the very climax of the feast on the Friday. Because God was in control of events, not the religious guys. God's plan was being rolled out. Jesus' mission was the cross. Passover feast was happening at this time. The Jewish people would remember how they were slaves in Egypt. They would look back at their heritage and their history. They would remember how a lamb was killed, and they would walk out of Egypt free. Jewish leaders didn't want Jesus to be killed or crucified on the Friday because it would cause them too much trouble. But come Friday, Jesus would become God's perfect sacrificial lamb. His death on the cross, his resurrection, would purchase the freedom of those who would put their trust in him. And this woman plays her part in God's plan. Have a look at verse 8. She poured perfume on my body beforehand to prepare for my burial. Did this lady know that Jesus was going to be crucified on the Friday? Mark doesn't tell us. We don't really know, but we can consider what we do know. We can think about the information that Mark has actually gave us. Here's a woman, ordinary woman. She's devoted to Jesus. Her priorities are in order. She has some resources at hand to do a beautiful work. That's what Jesus calls it, a beautiful work for him. Verse 8, Jesus tells us that she does what she can. This woman did what she could with what was in her hand. Today, I just urge you to copy her example. Do what you can for Jesus. Do what you can for Jesus. It might seem insignificant, that small act of kindness, that money given, that time used, that tea made, the cake baked, the encouragement given, that forgiveness that costs. Do what you can, like this woman. We don't need to understand how. We don't need to understand why he will use what we give, but we do it, and we know that he will use it in the providence that God has already planned. So do what you can when the opportunity arises. Give Jesus your very best. Not the leftovers, not the dog ends. What about time? Do you give time to Jesus first thing in the morning, or do you leave it to 11 o'clock at night when your eyes are closing and you can barely concentrate? What about your money? Do you give from at the beginning of the week when you have money, or do you wait to see what's left? We can love when it costs. If we're going to give something to the Lord through the church, do we give our used stuff? Do we give the stuff that's done and we don't want it anymore? Or do we go and buy something that's brand new and we give it to Jesus? Do you ever walk into a church and it's run down and the paint's fallen off the walls? What does that say? What does that say about what people are giving to Jesus? They're not giving their very best. Not like this lady. Have a look at verse 9. Jesus makes a promise. Wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her. Of course, here we are today, and we're still speaking about her. Let's just consider Jesus' words as we finish. Wherever this gospel, and gospel means good news, wherever this gospel is preached, the bad news is that the wages of sin is death. But the good news that Jesus talks about is this, that the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord.
That's the good news.
Jesus was on his way to the cross. Jesus, who had committed no sin, Jesus, who did no wrong, God's perfect lamb, would be sacrificed on a Roman cross at Calvary. And that's the gospel. That's what Jesus was talking about, the good news. Jesus takes the place and the punishment of the sinner who will repent and put their faith in him. In verses 10 and 11, just as we come to the end of the passage, we can see that contrast again, the stark contrast between a woman's devotion to Jesus, and these verses record Judas's betrayal of Jesus. See, a woman whose love for Jesus is more important than money, and a man whose love for money was more important than Jesus. I wonder who you identify with in the passage today. I hope that you can identify with this woman today, because Jesus is indeed worth it. I hope you'll choose to prioritize Jesus first. I hope that you will use your possessions to do your own beautiful works for Jesus. And hope that you live in his protection, in the protection of the cross, in the protection of his leadership day by day as you obey him. And then you'll live a life that is in his will and in his providence. And you'll live a life that will bring glory to God. Thank you.